got my bags packed and on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 419. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about museums, beer festivals, and ghost towns as we go to the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have two news stories for you. The first one may not be quite as relevant for you as it is for me. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a new law called the Blogger's Law that requires online writers with more than 3,000 daily readers to register should they visit Russia. Now, I don't have more than 3,000 daily readers, but I did have more than 3,000 daily listeners last year. So if the invasion of the Crimea didn't do it, this may have put Russia just one more notch lower on my list of places to go. This may not affect your places to go, but some decisions by Frontier Airlines may affect how you get there. They're now going to be charging from $20 to $50 for bags that go in the overhead bin for your carry-on bags. They're going the route of Spirit Airlines. They're lowering their rates of their tickets by 12%, and then they're going to add additional fees. So if you are booking Frontier, make sure you figure out the full cost of the flight, not just the cost of the ticket, which is a good idea no matter who you fly. Links to both those stories can be found at the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Lance Longwell, coming to us from travelannex.net, and come to talk to us about Denver, Colorado. Lance, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
I put out a request through my networking contacts and social media recently that Denver is a show that I wanted to do. And Lance, you have some connection to Colorado. How long has your family been in Colorado?
My family has been in Colorado and more specifically in Denver for over five generations, which makes us practically founding fathers of the city. And my great-grandfather was actually the first utility commissioner of Colorado way back in the day.
And just to bring a level of bizarre to this, my great-grandfather moved to Colorado in the 1880s, and my grandfather was a rancher and a cowboy in Colorado and was actually on the last roundup in Colorado when they put up the fences. So we've got some depth of history here, but I didn't have enough specific experience with Denver, even though I had been there and had a wonderful time. So I really wanted somebody who knew that better. And you grew up in Denver.
I grew up in Denver. I don't live there currently, but I go back several times a year to visit family. So it's very much the home turf for me.
And why should we visit Mile High City?
I think Denver has a lot to offer. Before getting into what makes Denver great, I think it's worthwhile to just understand where it is. And it's just a little bit north of dead center in the state of Colorado and butts right up against the Rocky Mountains. So anywhere within the city you go, you have these beautiful vistas of the peaks towering over this gorgeous city. And Denver is truly a gem in the Mountain West.
Well, and you mentioned that it's in the center of the state. I think it's almost exactly in the geographic center of the state. And the right side of the state is flat, and the left side of the state is not. My family's from the right side of the state, from the flat part. But
the Eastern Plains, low-level grasslands, there's a number of Native American sites and monuments just to the east of Denver, easily explored. And then, of course, right to the west, the beautiful mountains and all that that has to offer in terms of outdoor activities.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary would you recommend for Denver?
So a great itinerary for Denver, first of all, Denver as a city is very small. It's only about 600,000 people, but the greater Denver metro area is about 3.2 million people, made up of 12 different counties and over 50 different municipalities. So there's a lot to explore there. It's not a very central or compact city to mm-hmm. explore. Either Denver proper, the city and county of Denver, or the broader metropolitan area. So you really need to allow time to explore. I think Denver itself is workable in 3 to 4 days, depending on your interests. And then there are a number of wonderful side trips from the city to take in some of the mountains and some of the plains.
Okay. And the highlights of the city, in your opinion, would be what?
In my opinion, the highlights of Denver are the cultural and the outdoor activities that the city has to offer. There are a number of truly world-class museums, from the Denver Art Museum and the Museum of Nature and Science, in the city, and both are favorites of mine. I love to go when I'm back visiting family. And then Denver also has a lot of outdoor activities, Confluence Park, Washington Square Park, rival anything that any other city would have, and are definitely worth spending time and exploring.
Okay, let's slow down and do each of the things you've mentioned in a little more detail then. You mentioned museums, so let's start with museums. And you had two on your list, and I've got, I think, a third on my list. So your first two were the Art Museum?
The Denver Art Museum.
Mm-hmm. The museum building itself being fairly interesting shaped. Not a lot of right angles in that building.
Correct. So for those who have not been to Denver or seen the Art Museum is a, if you could envision, a steel iceberg flipped on its top. So the point sticks into the ground, and then there's this gigantic steel superstructure with a huge point, is the only way to describe it, coming off of it. It is unlike any building I've ever seen. But within the building itself, that angular structure actually creates some very unique spaces to view both the permanent as well as traveling exhibitions. It allows them the ability to configure a lot of the walls. So a lot of the walls are movable so that they can get large pieces in. And it's a beautiful place to see art.
Now, there's another art museum that I went to next to there, the Clifford Still Museum, which would probably be a good place I would recommend people stop if you like his style of art. He doesn't happen to be my favorite artist, so I'm not going to recommend it, but I will mention it just in case somebody happens to be a fan of that. He is an abstract expressionist. So if you like abstract expressionism, this would be a good museum, but I don't. So, and you had a second museum you were mentioning.
The Denver Museum of Nature and Science is a natural history museum, great for families. And they have a lot of permanent exhibits relating to dinosaurs. There's a lot of archaeological digs in the state of Colorado to extract dinosaur fossils. That's covered. And a planetarium, and obviously IMAX, really giving families the opportunity to get hands-on with science.
In fact, one of the national parks that a little bit out of the range of Denver is the Dinosaur National Monument in the northwest corner of the state. So clearly a lot of dinosaurs there, probably second to Alberta, I would say.
There are a lot up there. There's a dinosaur museum in Grand Junction that is quite good for the topic. And Craig, Colorado, just outside of Dinosaur National Monument, makes a good base to explore all of the different fossils up there.
Excellent. And then I mentioned I had a third museum I wanted to add, and that's the History Colorado Center. And I don't know if you've had a chance to go there yet, because it's fairly new. I think it opened 2 years ago, as I recall. But I really enjoyed it, especially because I did not grow up in Colorado. I grew up in California, but my family's roots go back to these small towns in Colorado. And it was a wonderfully presented museum. Because it is a new museum, It does a very good job using audio visuals of explaining some of the history of Colorado. And especially one of the exhibits that I like was sort of looking at life in a small town. And this, they picked one particular town that had boomed when the railroad went through. And then basically as the interstates went through later on and the life went away from where the railroads were, kind of went through more of a bust. And so it was interesting looking at that small town as a microcosm of Colorado.
There are a lot of towns like that in Colorado.
There are indeed.
And up in the mountains, the ghost towns from the mining days.
The silver mining towns, yeah.
Particularly down, well, there's a few just west of Denver. And then there are a number in the southern part of the state near Telluride and Durango. Most of those are four-wheel drive accessible only, but are wonderful to try to get up and explore.
Well, and when I was there with the Denver Tourism Board, I was there for the Travel Blog Exchange Conference 2 years ago, I think, and we went to a gold mine, the Phoenix Gold Mine Tour, just outside of Denver, Colorado, and you can tour that gold mine and see the way that things work there. It's a relatively small mine, but a real interesting peek into that part of Denver and Colorado's history. Excellent. Where to next?
Denver is a very outdoorsy-oriented city. I think Colorado always ranks highest on the list for fittest state in America. Mm-hmm. And Denver's pretty high up there in the city. So there's a number of great parks. Washington Square Park, not to be confused with the one in New York, is a wonderful urban city park just a little bit south and east of downtown Denver. Mm-hmm. And around the park, it has really grown into a trendy neighborhood, but the park itself has a wonderful lake. It's great to walk around, and from the east side, it's a very photogenic spot where you can take photos back towards the west with the skyline of the city and the mountains in the background. So you'll see a lot of photos from Washington Park in magazines and in books. So I definitely recommend that one.
You were mentioning Denver being fit, and that was emphasized for me when we went to visit Red Rocks, which, speaking of parks and also places where very good musical venues, but Red Rocks, as you had all of the people who were at altitude, I should mention, or at least for those of us who are flatlanders, what we would consider altitude, running the steps in Red Rocks, and some of us were huffing and puffing, just walking up this natural amphitheater in just outside of Denver.
So I'm glad you mentioned Red Rocks. I grew up very, very close to there. So it was practically in my backyard. It is a wonderful concert venue and great to see the natural rock formations any time of year. Mm-hmm. There are a number of special events held there throughout the year. We just passed Easter, but there's a sunrise Easter service that is mesmerizing, is about the only way I can say it. They also have a film series there and free concerts throughout the year. Not every concert's free, obviously, the big name acts, but there are a number of opportunities to take in Red Rocks and relive some of the glory days. Because it seems like every musician has recorded an album there, from U2 to John Tesh.
That's a bit of a range. Okay. Excellent. What else should we see while we're in Denver?
One of the other things that's very popular is craft beer. It seems like that's become the thing everywhere, but Denver probably has the best claim to the craft beer capital of the country. It's home to the Great American Beer Festival every year and leads the country in beer production per capita. So there are, I believe, over 120 different craft breweries in the Metro Denver area. And I mean, we all have our favorites. I would give personal call outs to Oscar Blues, just up outside of Boulder, and actually the Golden City Brewery, known as the Other Brewery in Golden, Colorado, as two good ones for the novice.
You mentioned the other one, so probably most people know which is the main brewery there, but there's one that's probably a little better known, if not held in high regard by all beer drinkers at this point.
That is correct. So Golden, Colorado is home to Coors Brewery, and it is also, I believe it is still the largest single site brewery anywhere in the world.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yep. They offer a wonderful free tour. I've done it many, many times with friends visiting from out of town, but the Coors tour shows you the entire brewing process and is probably one of the top attractions in the Metro Denver area.
So what I'm hearing you say is make sure you do the Coors tour and then go drink beer someplace else.
Yeah, I think everybody has their own preference. Okay. on the kind of beers they like.
And I would have to say that in Coors' defense, Coors Light happens to be one of my favorite beers because, of course, I don't like the taste of beer. So
I actually like cooking with Coors personally.
Okay. Okay.
I use it for a lot of my cooking projects. And then I think if you think back to my original comment about Denver being a series of cities, it's over 50 different towns that make up, quote unquote, Metro Denver. There are a lot of there are a lot of towns that make up the metropolitan area that have a lot to offer. So we've already mentioned Golden, home of Coors Brewery and Golden City Brewery. Golden sits down in this valley between the Two Table Mountains to the east, actually. It's in the foothills, and the Rockies to the west. There's a lovely little downtown pedestrian area and a path along Clear Creek to walk. And the little towns like Golden, there's another one, Old Town Arvada. Those little places within Denver are great to explore. The Highlands neighborhood just to the west of Denver that sits up on the bluff above the Platte River has really taken off in recent years. So this is where people are discovering, if you will. And it's kind of not the tourist area of downtown or where the conventioners go.
Right.
But these areas are where Denver's happening now.
Well, you mentioned pedestrian areas too, though. It seemed to me, and I'm not a insider by any means in Denver, that the actual downtown there at the 16th Street Mall, kind of between, I would put it between the Capitol and the ballpark, is a pretty happening place these days also. In fact, it surprised me how much was going on down there, because I, as many times as I'd been to Denver, I'd never really spent time in that downtown area.
They've really worked hard to try to renovate downtown. 16th Street Mall has always been somewhat of a go-to area. Mm-hmm. They've been renovating it and really trying to bring in new businesses. At the far end, down near the ballpark and the train station, which is currently being renovated, is the neighborhood of Lodo. And about 15 years ago, that was the happening place in Denver. A lot of restaurants, high-end restaurants, went in there. The Tattered Cover Bookstore, which is, I believe, one of the largest independent bookstores in the country. And they're based in Cherry Creek, but they opened a massive bookstore in the Lodo area. And a number of art galleries and artist spaces and collaboratives went into that area. So Lodo's been happening for a long time, but some of the other neighborhoods, Lohi and the Highlands just to the west, have taken some of that thunder away from Lodo.
Okay, interesting. And Lodo, lower downtown, is what that stands for. Is that, am I got that
correct?
Right? Okay.
Lower downtown, and Lohi being the lower Highlands.
Got it.
Denver seems to love these little abbreviations.
Well, they're not the only ones. If we were in New York, we'd be talking about Soho. So anything else we should do in downtown proper? Because I know you also have some side trips that you have planned for us here.
One of the most popular things to do in downtown Denver is the state capitol. It is Denver being the capital of the state. The Capitol building, topped with its gold leaf reflecting the sun, is one of the more impressive state capitals in the U.S.
You can say it's the most impressive state capital in the U.S., and I'd back you up on it. And I'm not from Colorado, so.
Okay, trying to get a little Midwest modesty in
That's
there.
All right.
It's a pretty stunning building mm-hmm. in an amazing location, and from the steps of the Capitol, looking out to the west, you have the mountains, the Purple Mountains majesty. It's pretty beautiful. Along the steps of the Capitol, it's worth noting, we actually call out the 5,280 feet of Denver being a mile above sea level. So you can actually see it marked right there on the Capitol building, the elevation.
Because it's not quite a mile high in most places in Denver, we'd have to say. But it does get to that at that point. It's close enough. It's close enough. When you're trying to run and you're from the flatlands, it feels like a mile.
Yeah. So. Denver does sit in a little bit of a depression in the Platte River Valley mm-hmm. there. And back in the 80s, the city had a real problem with smog that would settle in
right.
to that valley. And you could just see it from the surrounding higher ground. But those days are long gone, and you can definitely run now.
Well, I can't, but... any particular tours you would recommend in terms of seeing parts of Denver?
The one tour I personally haven't been on, Chris, but a number of friends have gone on and they recommend it, is a professor of history. He goes by Dr. Colorado, and he gives a number of walking tours and presentations throughout the city of Denver and also throughout the state. So something for the listeners to check out.
Excellent. And I would recommend that people take in a ball game with the Rockies there at that baseball stadium that we mentioned, but they're just beating my Giants 7-1 tonight, so I'm not going to mention it.
It is a gorgeous ballpark in the style of a lot of the newer ballparks out there. Mm-hmm. And if you sit behind home plate or along, I believe, the first base side, if I'm getting my directions right, you've got some great views of the mountains beyond.
Excellent. Well, are we ready to do some day trips from Denver?
Sure.
So you had also mentioned a Native American site near Denver. What was that?
It's just north and east of the city is the Pawnee National Grasslands. It's about a 30 square mile area managed by the state of Colorado as well as some private lands. This is a pristine Eastern Colorado grasslands where a lot of the bison used to graze, if you will. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of migratory birds and animals still out there, and was an important site for Native Americans and is a great place to go hiking to take in some of the eastern part of the state as opposed to the mountains in the west.
Excellent. And where else would you recommend that we go while we're visiting Denver?
So a couple of other good day trips or jaunts from Denver, Boulder and the Boulder mm-hmm. County area, separated from Denver by, it's about a 45 minute drive. But at this point, the city of Denver has really built up almost to Boulder's doorstep. Boulder is the home to the University of Colorado. And downtown Boulder has a pedestrian mall called the Pearl Street Mall. It's in the classic European sense of a closed off street, strolling sidewalk cafes, a number of great restaurants along the strip, and an Art Deco courthouse right on the central square. So Boulder's definitely a great place to spend some time and relax. And right within the city of Boulder, there are a number of mountain parks. So the trails leave right from town and go up into the mountains, and you can take in the sights of both Denver and Boulder leaving right from the city of Boulder.
Excellent. Yeah, the Flatirons up there in Boulder are particularly spectacular shaped mountains.
They're like giant fins that stick out of the mountain.
Right. Excellent. Any place else that you would recommend that we go near Denver?
Colorado Springs is a separate city apart from Denver, but it's close. It's about an hour and 10, hour and 15 minute drive. And Colorado Springs is home to the U.S. Air Force Academy and also Garden of the Gods, which is like Red Rocks. It's a large urban park with giant rock formations, was once a Native American burial ground, and the Garden of the Gods is one of the highlights of anyone who comes to Colorado. They always talk, people always talk about the Garden of the Gods, and it's a great place to go hiking. Not strenuous hiking, because you're still at elevation there, but it is, the red rocks and the red dirt are like nothing else.
Excellent. One more place that you do on a side trip? I want to get back to some of the questions about Denver.
The other side trip that a lot of people do from Denver is actually up into the mountains to take in some of the alpine environment, hiking up in the mountains, and also some of the mountain hot springs. So if you have the time to squeeze a little more out of your trip to Colorado beyond Denver, I would definitely recommend that.
Well, and a good companion podcast to this, actually two episodes of Amateur Traveler. One is on Colorado, the whole state, a little more overview going down into some areas further away. And the other is Aspen, Colorado, which we did an episode on. So if you're getting into the mountains, go listen to that episode also. Getting back to Denver itself.
Sure.
What's going to surprise me about Denver?
One thing that a lot of people are really surprised to learn about Denver is it's actually in a desert. They think Colorado and they think mountains and snow. Denver gets over 320 days of sunshine a year. Mm-hmm. It is in a desert. It can be very warm at all times of the year. So even if you're going to Denver in February, you should pack your shorts because you could need them.
Well, it's also, when you say a desert, it is one of the driest places I've ever been to, and I am more affected by the dryness there than any place I can think I've ever been. And it's the only place I've seen snow happen in the morning, be gone by the afternoon, and no puddles, because it just evaporated. It just sublimated because it's so dry that it really sucks the moisture out of both you and the rain that does fall and the snow that does fall.
That's absolutely right. And for visitors, the one piece of advice I always give is just drink more water than you can ever possibly think that you can drink, because you're going to end up dehydrated both from the dryness as well as from the elevation.
Right. One thing that the guidebooks are going to recommend to me when I come to Denver that you're going to say, maybe not.
I think we touched on it earlier, the 16th Street Mall.
Okay, interesting.
In my estimation, I would recommend some of the other neighborhoods, and I would find something else to entertain and spend my time on. That would be a skippable one. I think a lot of other guides and magazines have also raved about the Snooze Cafe. It's a restaurant and very, very trendy, but impossible wait times, and I would probably pass on that as well.
And then the flip side of that, the place that the locals know about, that tourists, you don't understand why they don't go there.
I think there's quite a number of things. I think the neighborhoods that I've mentioned previously, the Lohi, the Highlands, Old Town Arvada, and Downtown Golden, although Downtown Golden does get some traffic because of Coors, but some of the others, you're only going to be with locals in those places. The guidebooks aren't talking about them. Travel shows aren't talking about them. And that's really where some of the amazing things are happening in the Denver culinary scene. So I would get out into some of the neighborhoods and get out of downtown.
Well, and you mentioned the Denver culinary scene. So any places you would recommend? Doesn't have to be high end, just favorites.
Well, I have a personal favorite going way back forever, and that's Chipotle, the original location on Evans Boulevard from my youth, a favorite, and of course now they've got them everywhere. So when I go back, I frequently make a stop there. But beyond that, if you're looking at fine dining options in downtown Denver, the Brown Palace has a tavern associated with it called the Ship's Tavern. that serves wonderful new American. And I've spent mm-hmm. many a birthday in the Ship's Tavern at the Brown Palace. And restaurateur Frank Bonanno has a number of restaurants in the greater Denver area. I would say Osteria Marco in the Larimer Square neighborhood mm-hmm. would be a favorite. And then Denver is well known for having a large Mexican immigrant population, and the Mexican food in Denver is the best ever. I would put it up there with anybody else. And it's not Tex-Mex. It's mm-hmm. not chili on top of enchiladas. This is very authentic Mexican cuisine. So I think I would recommend to anyone going to Denver to try the Mexican food.
And if I'm going to Denver, a particular time of year or a particular festival or day of year that you would recommend I go?
The big festival in Denver is Taste of Colorado, which is Labor Day weekend. And I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people they get to turn out for that. Another popular one is, of course, the Great American Beer Festival for those hopheads out there. But there's really no bad time of year to get to Denver. In the winter, you may have a blizzard or flight disruptions mm-hmm. because of snow. But as you've mentioned, it can snow 12 inches today, and the snow can be all gone tomorrow. And there's really no bad time to go to Denver.
Yeah, my father said growing up in Colorado, they said, if you don't like the weather, just wait 20 minutes.
I would agree with that.
In California, we say, if you don't like the weather, just drive 20 miles. So it's a real different approach. You're standing in the prettiest spot in Denver. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
You're standing in Washington Park on the east side of the lake, and you're looking back at the mountains and the skyline of Denver.
Excellent. Before I get to my last three questions, anything else we should know about Denver?
The one other thing about Denver to keep in mind as you visit the city, I mean, it's a Western town, so there's a lot of Western cowboy flavor to a lot of things, to the restaurants, to the sports teams, where the Denver Broncos. Denver's not just the capital of the state, it's really the capital of that entire region, that Mountain West region. And there's no other city of any size out there. If you kind of think about it, between Kansas City and Vegas, there's only Denver, which would be a distance of like Frankfurt, Germany to Istanbul.
I think there's a few people in Salt Lake City right now who are taking offense, but okay.
I mean, in terms of a major yeah. city that draws touring theater companies, that brings okay. international art exhibitions, Denver's really it for that area. So you do get the kind of things in Denver that you would get in other major cities, particularly cultural and artistic traveling exhibitions and theater groups. So if you happen to be there when something special is in town, you should really try to take advantage of it.
Excellent. Last three questions. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Denver.
Only in Denver is definitely the snowfall in the morning and you're wearing shorts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Only in Denver is also going up and going skiing in May when everybody else is getting ready for summer and you're trying to squeeze the last bit of the adventure out of the season.
Excellent. You had mentioned the cowboy culture. One thing I noticed you didn't mention in terms of biggest festivals that I think used to be the biggest festival would be the Stock Show. And I wonder if that is an indication of how the city has changed over the years.
It is still really popular. The Denver Stock Show happens every January, and it's still very popular. I have friends who are, you would call them yuppies, and they train their kids to be mutton busters.
And now you're going to have to explain what a mutton buster is. Sheep.
This is a sport for young children. I think they're under the age of 7. And they, just like bull riding, these little kids are strapped in with helmets and protective garb, and they put them on the back of sheep, and off they go. So mutton busting. I have friends in Colorado, yuppies, who have mutton-busting kits. So it's very much part of the culture still, although given the influx of people from other parts of the country, some of it is waning. A lot of the open space where people used to have horses is also being developed. Mm-hmm. So some of that is being pushed further out from the city of Denver, out to the east and the north.
I would say the next time somebody asks you about one thing that makes you laugh in Denver, I would lead with the mutton busting.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
If you
there are numerous YouTube videos of said mutton busting, if somebody were enterprising and would want to check that out.
That is a new one. And I grew up in a rodeo city. One of the four biggest rodeos in North America is in this town I grew up in also, and I've never heard of mutton busting. So that sounds like a Denver thing. Interesting. Finish this sentence. You really know you're in Denver when what?
Every sunset is picture perfect orange.
Hmm. And if you had to summarize Denver in just three words, what three words would you use?
Hold on tight.
Okay. Now you have to explain. Are we mutton busting here or why are we holding on tight?
No, I think Denver is a city that is active. It is on the go. People are very athletic and very engaged doing things. And Denver as a city is on the move. And if you're visiting, grab on, hold on tight, and really immerse yourself in what the city has to offer.
Excellent. And Lance, where can people read more about your travels?
At traveladdicts.net.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and telling us a bit about the town where you grew up, Denver, Colorado.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
I had an email this week from John about the Winnipeg episode. He had a couple corrections, and you can see the whole post that he sent as a comment on that episode. The most obvious thing that we got wrong in that is it was said that Winnipeg was the southernmost city in Canada. And as I look at my map, it is so not the southernmost city in Canada. In fact, Quebec City, Montreal, and Ottawa are all south of Winnipeg. So we definitely missed that one. John also took exception to describing curling as a uniquely Canadian sport because it was invented by the Scots in medieval times and remains a popular sport in Great Britain and Scandinavia. Although from this side of the border, it sure looks uniquely Canadian to us, I will have to say. And while baseball may have derived from England's game of rounders, I think it is possible to adopt a sport and yet have it be your own. And there were a couple other things that we got wrong or were questionable. The one thing that I hope that you still get with any episode of The Amateur Traveler, and I think I certainly did get with Winnipeg, is this a destination that I want to go to? And that's really what we're shooting for with every episode. So I do hope from that episode you were able to tell whether that is a destination that you would enjoy, even if we screwed up a few facts. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. Or if you have any corrections, do what John did and please post them as a comment on the episode so that we can get all our facts right, which is our desire. I should say that John sent them to me as a private email and I encouraged him to post them as a comment so we could have those out there. You can also join the Facebook community or follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.